Isn't that so much better, perfect music for a sports podcast, especially this one? This is under the category of C, literally. It's under the C category, subcategory shanties. So this is C shanties, and it's called Up She Rises. Though it seems perfect, especially for today, this is the Seahawks Seahawkular podcast for not sports for work. Today we can call it not Seahawks for work. I'm your host, Kenneth Arthur. This is going to be a quick one that I wanted to make sure to get out before I leave. I am going to be on vacation for 8 days going to Thailand. So with this last opportunity to do a podcast before I leave, I wanted to get one out, and I wanted it to make it Seahawks-centric because I know a lot of you are Seahawks fans. But don't forget that this is not a Seahawks show. We have other things for that. I don't want people to start, I don't want to get pigeonholed, I don't want to get told what to do. Somebody told me they didn't like, they said less music, and I will pump up the music, I swear to God, if you test me. But yeah, I'm going to Thailand. It's my first real vacation as an adult, I'd say, outside of the continental United States. And who knows, maybe I don't come back. I've seen Locked Up Abroad. I'm not planning on smuggling anything, but if a beautiful lady asks me to carry her bags for her, I'm not going to say no. Even if, you know, it's all very suspicious, if there's that 1% chance that she actually wants to sleep with me, I'm going to have to take that chance. That's a given. That's inarguable, and I think we can all agree on that. Today is Monday, September 2nd, 2013. At the time of me recording this, it is 8 a.m. And it's a little early, so I don't know how that'll affect me. But I gotta get it out because in a few hours I will be in a car, and then I will be in a shuttle, and then I will be in an airport, and it'll be LAX, which is a travesty. And then I'll be on an airplane traveling across the Pacific Ocean to get to Taiwan, which I found, no, Taipei in Taiwan, which I found it is not China. I don't know how to tell the difference, but maybe that's why I'm going. Learn a few things. And I'm very excited about that. I'm also very excited for the Seahawks season. Wow, that is a top-notch professional radio transition. If you don't like Brock and Danny as a duo, if you want a new voice, a new face of Seattle radio, you know, go ahead and write your local station managers. You know them. Go ahead and send your station managers. We should get Kenneth Arthur a full-time job. Let's bring him back to Seattle and make it work. So on this day, I did record a podcast last night, about 20 minutes worth of a podcast. I did not feel great about it. I should keep, like, just a log of all of the audio that I have so far deleted, because, you know, these things can be, it's especially difficult to talk to yourself and keep it going and interesting. I think you can already and know that, so just with the stuff that I am releasing. But what I wanted, I'm kind of glad that it worked out this way, because the big news this morning is that apparently the 49ers are attempting, at this time, they're attempting, from the reports, to sign wide receiver Chris Harper off of Seattle's practice squad. Of course, Harper was a fourth-round pick, very disappointing, and the 49ers are trying to get him on the 53-man roster, apparently, though it could be, let's just go over, at the time that I'm taping this, there's a one scenario. At the time that you listen to this, it'll probably be a much clearer. So, nothing like that slightly out-of-date news. According to Adam Schefter, tweets, SF added wide receiver help by way of Seattle. 49ers signed wide receiver Chris Harper off Seattle's practice squad per league source. But the CSN Bay Area is reporting that the 49ers have not signed Harper. They're trying to. And then ESPN is also reporting that the Seahawks are attempting to hang on to him. Now, this is coming from the Seattle Times blog, Bob Condotta, and then he adds a few tweets from Anna Philosophy. Is that how you want to say it? Anna Philosophy? I think that sounds, that's got a nice ring to it. NFL Philosophy, at Anna Philosophy. Perfectly fine if 49ers sign Chris Harper to 53-man roster, but if they steal him and sign him to practice squad, it violates unwritten rules. So therefore, it actually doesn't violate any rules. It would just be a quote-unquote dirty move. And who would ever accuse Jim Harbaugh of a dirty move? But to be honest, who would ever... we have our own preferences for our guys, but if the shoe was on the other foot, if it was... My favorite thing about the San Francisco 49ers signing Chris Harper is that it seems like one of those typical moves. I mean, the two teams play in week two. It's a big game in Seattle. Typically, these seem to be the type of moves where you bring in a guy from your rival so that you can learn a little bit about what they've been doing all offseason, some of the secrets. And I just love the fact that you're going to sign the guy that you're probably going to sit, Jim Harbaugh's going to sit him down and say, give me the inside knowledge. And Chris Harper will be like, I don't know, man. They cut me. Yeah, but, you know, you were there, so just tell me what you learned. No, you don't get it. You know, Chris, according to a tweet from at PFF underscore Jeff Deeney of, I'm assuming, Pro Football Focus, Chris Harper's 115 snaps in the preseason was the most for Seattle wide receivers. He caught four balls for 39 yards, minus 2.0 grade, I don't know what that means, had two drops in finale versus Oakland. I mean, I didn't even realize that Chris Harper was on the field that much. I figured that this is one of those situations where he hasn't earned through practice, as much time out there. But obviously, they needed to get him out there as much as possible to see if there was anything at all that they could do with Harper. And he gets 115 snaps. Obviously, we're a running team. I don't know how many targets he got. It doesn't say here, but four balls for 39 yards and then two drops in the finale. He's not a guy that's going to help San Francisco. He's not a guy that's going to help us. It doesn't seem like he's a guy that's going to help anybody right now. If San Francisco wants him, I don't care. I read numbers like that. You get the reports. He doesn't seem like... He didn't make the team, and he could have. You know, there was opportunities there for Seattle to keep a guy like Harper. You obviously would have never let him go if you saw him have the same upside of Steven Williams, but he doesn't have that. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly these things can turn. You know, when he's drafted, there were a lot of things to like about him. But at this point, if they want him, they can have him. I don't think that he's going to help them that much at all. And that's sort of the reason that he was let go. If they violate some sort of unwritten rules, let's not make a bigger deal out of it than it has to be. Let's just go out and play the football games. So that's the news this morning, that the 49ers will apparently sign or are trying to sign Chris Harper, a very poor... I don't even think that he would have... Obviously, it seemed like Arcito Clark or Arcito Clark, I don't know, or Brian Walters would have been better choices than Harper for us, and probably for the 49ers, you know. But you go with that bigger name, the fourth-round pick. But I have absolutely, I don't know, I'm making any kind of big deal about it. People say, the 49ers want our trash, or... Oh, look at the San Francisco 49ers are so sad they have to sign players that we cut. We're not saying that about the Chiefs, are we? Like, let's just let go of these little pot shots that don't really mean anything, because there's plenty of people on the San Francisco that I would love for them to be on Seattle. They have players in their linebacking core and on their offensive line that should make us very jealous, and just trying to be as unbiased as possible. It's just a move, and I don't think that it's one that's going to have very much effect on us. I think that if they're trying to get information from us, there's plenty of ways to do that, and vice versa. So moving on, obviously on Saturday the final cuts were made, practice squad stuff announced. What's the big news? The big news, I guess, Derek Coleman made the roster. Coleman is a hard of hearing. And to say, I always interested when people say that someone is legally deaf or legally blind or legally blonde. And I'm not exactly 100% sure what that means, and that's just my ignorance, you know, coming out. I don't think that it means that he's not deaf, obviously. He can't. It sounds like, why don't you just say that he's deaf? Then you would say that there is some sort of something going in where he can hear, like, noises. And I think that I have heard that if you talk loud enough or something, that he can hear you, like, in practice, in the room where they're doing the, watching the video, that they, if he, I think that if Sherman Smith talks up, that they say that he can hear some stuff. But either way, obviously, he can hardly hear anything. He makes the team. Not only, it has nothing to do with the fact that he's deaf, just the fact that, you know, this is a guy that, you know, is 45 years old and used to play for the 76ers. Now, this is a guy that really nobody knew anything about. Back in January, I was looking back at an old article on field goals. If you haven't seen Field Goals, guys, check it out. It's pretty good stuff. Where we had Seattle had signed 10 to futures contracts, as teams are wont to do. And Coleman was one of those guys, and Steven Williams was one of those guys. The other eight obviously did not make the team, a couple on the practice squad, I think. And it looks like Coleman and Williams, I mean, those are pretty big upsets. When Harper was drafted, he was the assumed, you know, number five receiver that was going to be behind Percy Harvin, Baldwin, Tate, and Rice. And when Percy Harvin gets hurt, it just means he's got that much more opportunity. But instead, it looks like Jermaine Kearse and Steven Williams are going to be the four and the five. For now, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Harvin returns, but I wouldn't think too much about that, because by that time, guys are going to be getting hurt. And that's just the way that the cookie crumbles there. But Coleman, I don't know how much he's going to play, but I think that the reason he's on this team isn't to be a running back, it's to play special teams. He has been a special teams ace since he was down at UCLA. He is in the league right now because of special teams getting signed by teams to get a shot. And, you know, if you're going to teach your kids anything as young football players, teach them to work their asses off on special teams. Unless that guy is just a super, super otherworldly talent at another position. Like, if you're just a good running back, you should be asking more and more. You should be in the special teams coach in his ear, asking for more playing time, asking to get in on every coverage, every punt unit, every kick unit, doing whatever you can to be on special teams, because that 52nd, 53rd guy is basically your special teams players. You know, these are the guys that are there to have a position, but literally not, you know, literally have a position, but pretty much just that you need to go out there and throw them on special teams where you can't put your star players because you don't want them to get hurt. You know, so that's Derek Coleman. That's Steven Williams. You know, that's Heath Farwell, who's made an incredible career out of having almost no NFL talent at linebacker, but, you know, a very good motor on special teams and working his ass off out there. So those are the guys. You know, Chris Maragos is on this team, and this is a team that's going to be very good. So when you look and you see that they cut players like Chris Harper and other gentlemen, I like to refer to the football players as gentlemen, but, well, why not? That's not a joke. They are gentlemen. I don't know what I'm even talking about with that in regards to. Maybe just stop talking, man. And so Chris Harper gets cut. Just going over the 2013 draft class, Chris and Michael makes it. Jordan Hill is hurt. Harper cut. Jesse Williams hurt. Darryl Simon hurt. Luke Wilson makes it. Spencer Ware makes it. Seymour goes to the practice squad. Powell goes to the practice squad. Jared Smith goes to the practice squad. And Michael Bowie makes it. So as of this moment, their top five picks, the Seahawks' top five picks, the one that there's only one on the active roster, that's Kristen Michael. And three are hurt, and one is cut. And they got him on the practice squad, but now maybe he's going to be with the 49ers. Of their bottom six picks, 11 picks, 3 are on the practice squad and 3 are on the team. This is why, you know, with the Seattle, it's just stock up on those, you know, those late round picks, 5th, 6th, 7th round. They're much cheaper to come by, and Seattle has done an amazing job of getting, you know, high value out of those late round picks. If you can get a role player in the 7th round, that's, you know, that's pretty incredible. If you can get 3 or 4 of them, and then get 1 or 2 really good starters, I mean, going into this season, how many players on this team were undrafted or late round picks? You got Derek Coleman, Doug Baldwin, undrafted, Jermaine Kearse, undrafted, Stephen Williams, I think undrafted, Luke Wilson, 5th round, you know, J.R. Sweezy, 7th round, Alvin Bailey, undrafted, Mike Person, LaMelo Juan Pierre, that was terrible. I'm going off overseas and I can't, not that France is next to Thailand, I don't know, I haven't looked at a map ever, LaMelo Juan Pierre, Michael Bowie, 7th round, Jerron Johnson, Chris Maragos, Richard Sherman, 5th round, Brandon Browner, undrafted? I don't remember. Byron Maxwell, Jeremy Lane, you know, Chris Clemens, that's not our get, but that was a get after we needed to trade him for Daryl Tapp, who I'm assuming has been out of the league for a couple of years. Maybe one. Maybe not at all. Daryl Tapp, haven't been following your career very much. I have been following Chris Clemens, and I do know that he's got 33 sacks, so that's what I'll be paying attention to. You know, get good value with O'Brien Schofield. Benson Mayoa, you know, here's another guy that is undrafted and makes the team. And then D'Anthony Smith was a guy that Seattle has just traded for from the Jaguars. How long he stays with the team is, we'll see. But it seems like a good get if he can stay healthy. And, you know, we're talking about the 5th defensive tackle. We're talking about a guy that's not going to see much time unless he earns it or unless someone gets hurt. And then, you know, I think that they've done a good job of putting guys in the right places and not, you know, putting them out there on an island by themselves flailing. John Latulele also makes the team. And so a lot of surprises this year. You never would have put Latulele, Bailey, Bowie, Mayoa, Coleman, Williams, you would have never put those guys on the final 53, you know, but that is sort of become Pete Carroll's MO, is that, I mean, you hear a lot of jibber jabber from coaches and teams that I don't care where you were drafted, and maybe some of them mean it, but I gotta say that Pete Carroll really means it. He's giving everybody an opportunity, and that makes guys want to come here, that makes guys want to come to Seattle, because they see a team that literally will give undrafted free agents the exact same shot that they're giving a 4th-round pick. I'm not going to say that they're going to give you the same shot as a 2nd-round pick, because 2nd, 3rd round, most likely first 3 rounds, you're going to make the team. But after that, it doesn't really matter if you get drafted in the 4th round, the 5th round, the 6th round, the 7th round, or don't get drafted at all. Bailey and Latulele are on this team. Mayoa is on this team. And not only that, you know, Bailey is right on the cusp. Mayoa is going to get a lot of playing time probably to begin the year. Latulele is somebody that I think we're going to want to see a lot more of, and he probably will become a big, more integral part of the defense as the season goes on. So really, really cool stuff to see that happen, and would love to see how it all works out with those guys, because I think a couple of them can be really, really good, and it really helps, you know, Seattle in the long term to have guys so cheap, and also to build that loyalty with your players, even if, you know, the veterans at this moment aren't feeling that. But I think Michael Robinson and Antoine Winfield and other guys that have been around the league for a while sort of understood that when they got here, it's not that you necessarily lost your job, you know, and it's not that you don't have value, it's just, you know, this is a business, and they know that, and I don't think that really you know, I'm going to miss the Real Rob report. I would love to know if they could sign him just as a, like, club, a locker room, some sort of locker room job, whatever it may be, just so he could film it, but they're not going to give access. You know, that access, I'm surprised they gave that access to him when he was with the team, you know, to be able to show what's going on behind closed doors, you know. But for us, you know, I'd love to be on Hard Knocks. I'd love to, you know what I realized, though, was when I was watching the Bengals, Hard Knocks this year, is that when they're cutting players, and this was in the fourth episode last week, obviously they're going to make some bigger cuts this tomorrow. I won't see it right away, but if they had Hard Knocks Seahawks, how nice is that ring to it? Hawk Knocks, Hard Hawks, I don't know. Just play with that for a while. That is your homework assignment for the week, is to come up with a good nickname for the Hard Knocks Seahawks. But if I had to watch Pete Carroll bring in Michael Robinson to cut him, I mean, that's just waterworks. I'm not going to be able to handle that. I don't have the emotional capacity to watch Seahawks get cut. And that might be really, I don't know if I, even thinking about it, I can feel some buildup on the outer edges of my eyeballs. So I would love to see Seahawks Hard Knocks, and at the same time, I think I would hate to see it. It's a little bit too, it's a little bit too much for me to handle. I already have such an emotional investment into this team that to actually watch the guys, like, don't show me how it's made. You know, I don't want to see everything about the hard side of this business. You know, it's bad enough just reading about it. So it's definitely a very difficult weekend for a lot of guys. It's a very tough weekend, but it is the way it goes. I think that I don't think that Antoine Winfield and Michael Robinson are very far away. I know that Winfield officially had retired, but if Walter Thurman gets hurt, and it has happened once or twice before, there's a veteran player that has been working out with your team all offseason that can come in and doesn't need necessarily the first four or five games. You know, he could be ready to go right away. You know, with Michael Robinson, if something happens to any of their running backs, or if they're not performing as well as they had hoped, and they start to see that how much of a presence is left, how much of a void is left by, without the presence of Michael Robinson, then they'll call him. You know, Michael Robinson, I don't know if he's getting picked up. He might get picked up by someone during the year. It seems very plausible. You know, obviously the issue is when you play a specialized position, and fullback has become a very specialized position, there just aren't very many openings. You know, there isn't much of a market for fullbacks. You know, if you want to get your best shot in the NFL, I'd say that you have to play defensive back. Don't play cornerback or safety. Play defensive back. And you can see this with the recently cut Ron Parker that was picked up by the Chiefs. Here's a guy that played safety in college, transitioned to cornerback with the Seahawks, and they've brought him back three times. You know, he's not good enough necessarily in their eyes, at least, to be a regular part of the 53-man roster. But here's a guy that they have signed three times and then released three times, and then he's been picked up by other teams three times. You know, the Chiefs picked him up because here's a guy that plays cornerback, safety, and, you know, how many defensive backs total are you going to carry on a roster? The Seahawks right now, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 defensive backs. So when you play safety and cornerback, and then you also work your ass off on special teams, this is how Maxwell, Maragos, I mean, Parker, these are guys that can play one of those positions. If you can play two, and you double your chances, and you play safe special teams, you're going to be on the field the most. You know, how many other positions are there like that? I don't think there are any. Offensive linemen, you do carry at least 10 of those guys, 9 or 10 of those guys, but they don't play special teams because they're too fucking big. You know, you can't have a guy like me playing special teams. It's just not going to go right by me. It's going to be terrible. Where else does your special teams player come from? Like linebacker, you're not going to carry that many linebackers. Really the best thing to do is, if you want to be, you want your best shot, be 6'1", a lean 220 pounds, you know, obviously built tough, and play a lot of cornerback and safety. That's your best shot, and then get in the ear of the special teams coach and make sure that you are playing on every single coverage unit that you possibly can think of. Make up coverage units. You know, just do whatever you can. That's your best shot to get on an NFL roster. That's how a guy like Ron Parker will continue to have a job for a while, whereas, obviously, Harper is having a difficult time. So that's the big news. Was Chris Harper, where does he stand? Where does he stand? Derek Coleman makes the roster. Steven Williams, very interesting guy. I think Jermaine Kearse could have an interesting year. Being the fourth receiver in this offense, you know, I don't know if you're not going to get a lot of targets, but, you know, you're behind a guy like Rice. Doug Baldwin had his struggles last year, sort of not the same as he was as a rookie, but then also, luckily, didn't have to rely on him as much. Luke Wilson, I think, is an interesting guy that, you know, obviously is athletically very talented and doesn't have any competition right now behind him, but I think this can be an offense that uses two receiving tight ends quite a bit. I think that can be that's very beneficial and something they plan to do. Obviously, it would have been interesting to see what would happen if Anthony McCoy didn't get hurt, because I think he was going to be a big part of the team this year, and they didn't find, if they were going to carry three tight ends, then who gets cut then? You know, then it's Derek Coleman not going to make the roster, or, you know, possibly, I think it might most likely be a guy like Keith Farwell or something like that. But I think Jermaine Kearse can be a very good player. Thinking of maybe like Jeremy Curley or something like that. Steven Williams obviously has the size, and he could be a guy that is starting at X. You know, this is a guy that if anything happened to Rice, would you go directly to Williams because of their size? You know, because Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, they've all got their stature, and then Rice and Williams are more similar in that way. It's very nice to have a guy like Alvin Bailey who looks like he can hold his own on the left side, especially with Russell Kung. You know, he's been nicked up a lot. There's going to be some really tough times this year when a guy walks off the field, and we're going to have to hold our breath. But with this kind of depth, at least you feel a little bit safer in that respect. Benson Maiola is obviously another surprise, and like I said, he's probably going to get a decent amount of playing time in the first couple of games, and really pass rush is something that this team needs to improve on quite a bit from last year. Let's not forget that how many of their sacks came against the Packers in one half, and then for the rest of the season, mostly, it was just pretty disappointing. You know, that's why they signed Avril, Bennett, you know, they didn't put Chris Clemens on the PUP because they are very hopeful that he'll be back before week 7. I think obviously not just week 7, but they're hopeful he'll be back by probably week 3 or 4. And they've been very impressed with his progress so far. The run defense, you know, if it improves, it does. But let's not forget that even with some shoddy run defense last year, the team was pretty good. So I'm looking forward to the year. I will actually be missing the first game of the season because I will be in Thailand that day, and I don't even know if I'll have any access to know what happens. So I'll be very surprised, and I'll get a whole special treat when I get back. It's one of those, I guess you could say it's a nice thing, although obviously missing all of that first game action. But, you know, you got to live life, man. Don't just sit there and avoid all these other things, because there's a whole world out there. And I'm going to go ahead and go see it. Sorry that this podcast wasn't the funnest. I could have been more fun. It wasn't the worst. Was it? I don't know. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Easter egg right here. This song is called A Chilling Championship. I don't know why we need chilling champion. What's so scary about winning a championship? Who has ever won a championship and said, I don't know about this, you guys? Like, as if Vince Lombardi's ghost comes out after you win the Super Bowl and haunts you for the rest of your days. That's why when I played this song, I figured that it was going to... It was called On to Victory, and then it turns out that the sub... What it's sub-called is a chilling championship. Oh, and now the flutes come in. But such an odd concept, because it is... I mean, that's a classic trumpet beat for the NFL, but... I just don't know exactly how it all fits in with being a very frightening prospect of winning a championship and then being haunted for the rest of your days. I think that it's actually going to be pretty good. I think the rest of your days are going to be pretty solid. It hasn't worked out for everyone. Now it really picks up. I was not expecting this at all, and now it shouldn't even be called the Chilling Championship. This is just a, hey, good job, everyone. Let's go celebrate. And then this is where I can see the highlights. At least very 1956 NFL highlight music right here. Steve Sabo, rest in peace.